If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Kyler is back with us. He will be all throughout the season. I pay attention to Purple Insider all throughout the year. You should also, in particular, once the Vikings are back at training camp, exhibition games not that far away, regular season not that far away. This guy is as good as anybody in town covering the Vikings. Matt is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. How are you going to try to balance not overreacting to every step, every throw, every completion, every incompletion, every conversation that McCarthy and O'Connell have, that knowing the curiosity is off the charts on the kid QB, but we can't reach a grand conclusion every time his hands are basically backed up behind the center's booty?
I do think that is really hard balance to strike, because if we go back to someone like Kirk Cousins being the quarterback, certainly there were lots of up and down days in training camp. Sometimes it's a new concept that they're working through and he's struggling, or he's working through some sort of route combination that he's seeing if he can push it into a window and there's an interception. And we would just kind of go, meh, we know what Kirk Cousins is.
Right.
And, you know, all right, well, wasn't a good practice. I remember one practice at the end of 2022 where I think he threw six interceptions. And we were like, well, man, this offense, who knows? And then they blew out the Packers in week one. So, you know, it is a really hard thing to judge. So I think you have to balance understanding that there are going to be some tough days and try to pick apart like why that might have happened or what they're trying to advance with his game, while also being fair and knowing that we really won't know through week one. But the amount of interest from Vikings fans in every single throw and every single play is so through the roof that you feel like, yeah, I do have to overreact. I do have to go too far. So I think it's kind of painting the picture more than anything. Like, what does it actually look like? And then reminding everyone, hey, yesterday was one practice. Mm-hmm. They didn't have pads. I thought McCarthy looked really good, but just take it for what it is.
Okay, so we're extraordinarily early in this. From what your eyes have showed you and listening to others, what is your early impression on a guy this team needs to be? Well, you can answer that. What are your early impressions, and how good does he have to be considering all the strength in so many positions around him on this team?
So my impression, and I'll just include OTAs, minicamp, and then what I saw yesterday, and I'll even wrap in from last year, kind of the accumulation, which is funny because I've seen a lot of J.J. McCarthy practice, but only the people at practice have actually seen him. Like, the outside world hasn't seen this guy since a preseason game, and then before that it was 2023 December, the last time that the nation saw a lot of J.J. McCarthy actually playing quarterback. But what I've seen so far, I think I would call the best case scenario for how J.J. McCarthy has looked. Physically, it looks like he's having no issues whatsoever with the knee and the recovery and throwing the football. There have been no setbacks. There have been no, well, J.J.'s limited today because he's got swelling in the knee or something like that. And I think what you can really see is when he first got here, he was throwing nothing but heaters, 99-mile-an-hour fastballs, and they were flying and hitting the mascot and stuff like that. But as he's gone along, he has really developed touch on the football. And I think if you're talking about what his evaluation was coming out of Michigan, you're talking about a totally different quarterback right now after working with Josh McCown and Kevin O'Connell. As long as he has, there are a lot of things about how he throws the football that I think have improved enormously, even despite missing all of that time. And the other thing is that I asked O'Connell about it the other day, and he used the word presence. And I think that's the exact right word, that when he walks out there, there's a lot of players who have more money than him, that are older than him, that are more accomplished than him. But you have no question about who the guy is on this team. And I think that's something you can just feel and you can just see in a practice. He doesn't ever look like this is over his head. He doesn't ever look like it's moving too fast for him. And I think those are really, really good signs. And we need to see more in pads to kind of get all of that. And as far as just the expectation goes, I think, you know, out of the frying pan and into the fire, like this is a team that's got very, very high expectations. They haven't shied away from it. The players haven't shied away from it. They know they won 14 games last year, 13 2 years ago. A lot of the players from last year are still here in the core, and they look around and go, who's got a better roster than us? And all you need is J.J. McCarthy to do his job, and this team can be very, very good. That is a lot of pressure on him, but he's also been a kid that's always had a lot of pressure. Michigan, playing for Harbaugh, national championship, first-round draft pick. It's not something that he has seemed afraid of when he goes out there to lead this team.
Brian Flores addressed the media, what was it, about 45 minutes, an hour ago? What stood out to you in that conversation?
I think with Flores, what stood out more than anything was that he didn't want to really go into the Dallas Turner thing too deeply. When he was asked about Dallas Turner, he kind of gave a like very generic, well, you know, every player is supposed to get stronger and things like that. They have been talking a lot about Dallas Turner and this big step that they expect him to make. And, you know, I always kind of combine judging what they say and what they do. And when those things match up, I think it's the truth. And with Dallas Turner, they have been hyping him up for this year, saying he's going to take a big next step. And what they did not do is go out and get anybody else to play ahead of him. Like, this is his job. But figuring out what his job is going to be with Van Ginkel and Grenard is an interesting question. And I don't know that we're going to be able to really identify it in camp. I think it's going to be a lot of the basics for him. And then week one, we'll really see how they're going to use Dallas Turner. But I thought it was interesting that Flores seemed like he was kind of going to keep his cards close to the vest on what he wants to do with Turner this year. And I think it's just interesting that Turner is such a part of the conversation because every other position is so good on the field. It's like, well, what guy's unproven? Let's ask him about Dallas Turner again. And the only other thing I would say that came up was Josh Patelis playing more of a traditional safety position. And Flores kind of downplayed that a little bit, but that's what's been happening in practice is he is taking over for Cam Bynum. He's not playing, at least on day one, mm-hmm. in the Josh Metellus like hybrid role. And also, you know, Metellus is doing everything out there despite negotiating his contract. So those were the kind of main things that came up.
This is Matthew Collar. He runs Purple Insider. He brings in a lot of different people, whether it's one-on-ones, whether it's collaboration, it's podcasts, it's video, it's the mailbag on Friday. If you pay attention at all to the Vikings, you should consume Purple Insider. So I agree with you on the skill set on this team at a high level, except for one spot, cornerback. Are they really strong there? Isn't that still an area where they're where you can say you have some pretty good questions about that group? Maybe not Murphy, but after him.
I would say it could be. It could be. If you look at the small sample size of Isaiah Rodgers as a starter and a fill-in player in the NFL so far in his career, the data is really good on him, and his physical tools are really good. He ran at a pro day a sub 4.3, so this guy is extremely fast. And anytime he's gotten a chance to play, he's been good in the NFL. He just has not become one of those like 1,000-snap guys yet, I think in part because defenses are turning into rotations all the time to keep guys fresh. So last year, I think including the playoffs, he played something like 500 snaps and was very good for the Philadelphia Eagles. So it's a little bit of a Brian Flores bet. But I do agree with you that there are questions here. I mean, we know Byron Murphy is what he is, and he's in his prime. He's a good player. Harrison Smith, at some point, age comes for everybody. Is that this year? Mm-hmm. Does it sustain from where he was last year, which was certainly good enough to have a top five defense and not the 2017 Harrison Smith, but still good? And how they manage that safety position is certainly interesting as well, with Theo Jackson looking to me like he's going to be kind of a dime defensive back that works in. But I also think that it's a little bit of we have to nitpick one part of the roster because the front seven is so good. And the guy that everybody is watching is Jeff Okuda, former number three overall draft pick, who has not worked out in the NFL so far. He was taking first team reps in nickel yesterday, but I think they want Mekhi Blackmon to win that job still, but kind of bring in the veteran, set the bar for Mekhi Blackmon to overreach. You know, I mean, that's why it's just day one and there's weeks to go. But if they end up with, you know, anybody getting hurt and Jeff Okuda's starting, then yeah, you could have some questions about that unit.
And like they did last year, they still can add somebody. They have the flexibility. Last question for you, sir. When is this offensive line completely healthy and having all five guys out there? Because, you know, that's certainly a huge part of this offseason. The size and the quality that they added on the offense and defensive line to play more power football, to be more physical. But they need those folks healthy. And let's talk about the two guys who aren't on the PUP list but aren't out there practicing right now on the offensive line.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is that Darisaw and Fries not being on the PUP list was enormous. And Will Fries did take reps yesterday. It wasn't a full workload, but he was out there, which is a good sign because that means he's going to get essentially a full training camp preseason to be ready to go for week one. That's the expectation. With Darisaw, Kevin O'Connell has just continually praised his rehab process and talked about how hard he's worked at it. And the fact that he got out there for minicamp really surprised me. I was like, wow, okay, he's already out there. And yesterday was doing quite a bit, not the team stuff, but was still doing quite a bit. So I think the expectation is that there's a good chance that week one they have a complete offensive line, because it sounded like, from what O'Connell said, that they were hoping to get Darisaw into 11-on-11s later in training camp, and then, you know, we'll see about week one. But even if it's not week one, then week two, something like that. Kind of another best-case scenario for him in terms of his rehab. But if you do the actual math for how many months he'll have to recover, it's about the same as T.J. Hockenson had by the time he came back from his ACL. So I think there is a good shot that to start the season, they're going to Chicago with their full offensive line.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you on a regular basis next few months.
Thank you.
Matthew Collar, Purple Insider. Check it out. Check out Pella. Check out PellaNorthland.com. Look at your condo. Look at your house. Maybe you just change windows so you know. But 99% of us, unless we've visited a place like Pella, and by the way, there are not many places like Pella, 100 years in business, so many customers all across the country. You just don't have business like that. But unless you've checked them out, you're like, are they clean? Are they dirty? Are they keeping my house cool when it's supposed to be cool and warm when it's supposed to be warm? It's way more than that. So go to PellaNorthland.com. Schedule this. How about this? A no obligation free visit to your home or condo. They're not the type of company. They've been around too long. They're too successful. They're going to come in and say, guess what? Every window stinks. Here's an enormous bill. Here's the one window that works for your house. And by the way, it's our most expensive. No. They're going to come in and tell you the truth. If 95% of your windows are still good, they'll say, let's concentrate on the other 5%. Then they'll say, do you want to renovate? Do you want to remodel? Do you want to make changes? How big do you want to make the changes? At where I used to live, it was the kitchen, and they changed it up great. And when I moved, I made sure Pella windows and doors would be part of the place I want to live for a long, long time. They're great. Go to their showroom also in Woodbury or Plymouth. Great people, great customers, great opportunity, and you'll be set for a long, long time. PellaNorthland.com.